I'm Heather.
And I'm Corey.
And this is Movie Shelf, where we talk about movies, movie trivia, and just about anything related to pop culture. We're glad you're here. In today's episode, we're talking about the new Aladdin live-action remake. We'll also talk about our picks of the week, movies that are coming out, and of course, we'll enjoy a side of bacon.
Bacon.
So, before we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the Aladdin live-action remake, we'll just talk a little bit about the movie.
Is that really necessary?
Well, here's what I'm thinking.
It's basically the same storyline as the animated Aladdin, which, you know, who hasn't seen that?
Yeah, so if you happened to have not seen the 1992 animated film, or perhaps any of the other incarnations of Aladdin...
Arabian Nights or, you know, yada yada.
Even the fairy tale theater one that I was just showing you earlier with Shelley Duvall. Just in case you are not in the know.
Which, yeah, for the 2% of you listening to this.
So Aladdin is the story of this boy. His name is Aladdin. Or this man. I guess he's probably a man.
Street rat.
Yeah, well, that's what he's called, at least in that good old song. He's trying to get ahead, but of course he basically has to steal, as he puts it, to survive. So he only steals what he needs for the moment, which is usually food. And then Jasmine is a princess, and she's kind of stuck in a very secluded life. She can't really ever leave the palace, but of course she yearns to be able to leave and have more of a vibrant life.
Well, more to have... contact with the people that she's supposedly going to be in charge of in the future.
Right. Well, she's technically not going to be in charge of, because she apparently lives in a very male-dominated society where she, of course, because she is a female, is not permitted to be able to become sultan.
Which begs the question, if she's never going to become sultan, then who would be the next sultan, since the guy has no male heir?
That's the whole reason why she has to get married. But anyway, so... she sneaks out one day.
But hold on, that begs another question, because since she can only marry a prince, isn't that prince going to be the leader of his kingdom? So is he going to like rule two kingdoms at once? Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Or I'm not totally sure how the royal stuff works.
Yeah, too many loopholes in that.
Maybe she was marrying a prince that was like second in line to his own throne, so... he would be able to rule, and then there'd be like this camaraderie between the two kingdoms. Perhaps.
I may be able to buy that.
Oh, okay. So anyway, so she sneaks out one day, and in her little adventure, she meets Aladdin. She doesn't reveal to him who she really is, but of course, there's a connection. Dare I say there's a vibe, Corey?
Ooh, vibe.
Their hearts are probably a little aflutter to some degree, or at least piqued interest. Anyway, back at the palace, the Sultan, he is easily corrupted, I guess, by... He's a good guy, but he has a very bad vizier. Mm-hmm. The key is don't look at his staff snake.
That he hypnotizes you with.
Yes, the vizier is definitely power hungry, very annoyed to be second in command and would love to be first in command. Yeah,
Sultan himself.
Yes. And he is on a mission to find the magic lamp that, of course, beholds the power of the genie, which means the three wishes. So, but to get to the magic lamp, you basically need a good soul, or someone with a good soul to be able to get it.
The diamond in the rough.
Yes. So he somehow is able to acquire Aladdin and, for the most part, tricks him to go into the Cave of Wonders to retrieve the lamp, promising him all good fortune and things of that nature.
All riches beyond his imagination, yada yada.
And of course, the key thing of all temptation is don't touch anything else in the Cave of Wonders, or rather, don't steal anything in the Cave of Wonders. And, you know, again, of course, things don't always pan out as the intentions are. And Aladdin ends up with the lamp, and so he ends up with the genie. But again, he's very good-hearted, so he's able to use his wishes to try to win the favor of the Sultan and the princess by becoming a prince to some degree. But again, Jafar, the vizier, is not going to go down easy.
Without a fight.
Yes. So he's there to, of course, ruffle the feathers, especially with his little spy bird, Iago. So, Corey, what did you like about this new live-action Aladdin?
Well, I must say, when I first became aware of this movie coming out, you know, there was one of the previews. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was the very first teaser. I think it was the second teaser slash trailer that came out that showed Will Smith the first time as the genie. And all these hate comments on social media started coming out. Oh, he looks so awful. This movie's gonna stink and all this and all that. So there was a lot of low expectations going in. But I feel that Will Smith really did a good job making the role his own.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I mean, it would have been a mistake to try and copy Robin Williams' version of the genie. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure that everybody knew that was not going to work. So they just had to kind of reinvent the genie for this movie.
Right. So, again, for the 2% of you out there that perhaps have never seen the animated Disney Aladdin film, there is that whole story that we just talked about. However, it's the genie that makes the story. And in the animated film, Robin Williams is playing doing the voice work. And I'm sure they're just copying all sorts of his mannerisms because he's just always out there. And he's brilliantly doing the genie. And the genie is what makes the film. So these are ginormous shoes that anyone would have to fill on taking on the genie mantle, at least in this Disney Aladdin storyline.
I think it would have been scary for anybody to try and fill that role. So.
And I'm definitely with you there, Corey, with what you were mentioning earlier, that the moment anything was starting to leak visually about, you know, Will Smith and being the genie, yes, there were tons of, you know, everyone was a flutter on, like,
what in the world?
Being very critical on this.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I think he did a fantastic job. I think that they played off a little bit of some of the original jokes, perhaps. But sometimes he would pull back and just totally make it his own.
Yes.
So it was definitely not a carbon copy.
It's almost like they started the same joke, but it didn't end the same way. Keep you on your toes.
Yeah. So which was perfect, because I can't even conceive how they would have actually documented everything that Robin Williams did, just because I feel he is so improvisational.
One of the key things that I was kind of surprised that they did keep the same is during the big parade when Prince Ali was coming into the town, and in the animated version, you know, the genie keeps popping around, it posing as, you know, crowd characters,
right?
You know, which, you know, and then Will Smith did a little bit of that here, which, you know,
that was pretty clever. Stuff, that was nice. A lot of the songs I feel like kept fairly the same. There were a couple of new songs, or at least one new song, the Speechless song. But oh my goodness, I had that Prince Ali Ababwa song in my head all day, all weekend, it seems. I think it's creeping back again, just because we started talking about it. But they did a great job, I think, with this live action representation of the Aladdin film. I felt like watching it, at least the beginning, probably pre-Genie part, because then it became a lot more big. But prior to the genie part, it almost felt like watching a play.
Yeah, the sets looked very play stylish, I guess.
Yeah, they were beautiful. It was very vibrant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't look realistic by any means.
Yeah, it definitely looked more fairy tale like, more fanciful.
Or a play caught on tape almost.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
a recorded play, is I think what you're trying to say. But We're well past the tape days, Corey. You know, I think we've seen other movies where when it's kind of that fantasy story, things are very vibrant. You know, like when you watch Secondhand Lions, and anytime they're talking about
their memories,
and talking about all, it just all looked beautiful and vibrant as he's telling the story. And I felt like that was kind of portrayed in this adaptation of the Aladdin film. Everything was beautiful and vibrant.
Or some of the homes and shops in the movie almost reminded me of, like, the neighborhood in Edward Scissorhands. You know, like, really? Every house is a little...
Oh, like, every different
pastel color. And
yeah, I mean, the neighborhood, like, nothing the same. But yeah, like, each little home kind of had a different color, and it was very bold and vibrant, which was, I think, really cool to watch. And with that, I think the costumes all looked really cool. I love Jasmine's costumes.
Oh, she always looked great.
Well, yeah, but like she had more clothes than the original Disney version.
Yeah, I guess it was just the same outfit for the whole movie almost, huh?
In the Disney, I don't remember her being in different outfits, but this one she definitely had a lot more clothes, a couple different outfits, and definitely more clothed.
Definitely more wardrobe changes.
And I think there were certain scenes that almost had that Bollywood feel, especially with some of the ways, some of their dancing numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a musical. I think when I first saw the teasers of the movie, I wasn't sure if they were going to keep it a musical, but they did. But it was okay. I felt it worked.
The musical numbers were not as annoying as I find them in a lot of movies.
The only one that felt perhaps off, only because maybe it was because it wasn't part of the original song. So I guess when I'm hearing the songs, I'm just kind of my 90s, you know, yeah, child mentality. Or
kind of flashback into the original performances.
Yeah, and it's like, oh yeah, I remember in middle school, like my friends were singing A Whole New World all the time, you know, things like that. There was the new songs, the Speechless song, which was definitely a girl power moment.
Well, I thought that was like, performance-wise, one of the more beautiful songs in the
movie.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
I definitely was not annoyed by it.
I wasn't annoyed. Okay. I just thought it was different than the rest, so it felt different. It didn't have the same rhythm, but I think that's just because we already know the other ones, so
True. We're
kind of singing along in our head as they're singing.
Like, and also you're like, oh man, I can't sing along to this.
Like, I can't do Speechless. I don't know Speechless. But it's been a long time since I've seen the animated version, but I can't remember how girl power focused it perhaps was. So this Jasmine, her main goal was she wanted to be Sultan, and she didn't feel the need to have marry a prince who may not be, you know, a good person just because that's how it's always been done.
For them to become Sultan.
Yeah. Yeah. So I felt that it played out really well in the movie, and it was... So, but I, as a girl and or a female, I do appreciate that girl power moments. And I thought the animals and the effects all looked really great. Even with Abu becoming a elephant, I thought that was fun.
We're going through his multiple character changes.
Yeah, and actually the monkey was great. Abu was super cute, super great.
I never felt that. You know, I felt that they never used a real monkey during this movie. I feel like it was always animated, but at the same time, it never felt too fake either. So right. I think there was that nice blend of, you know, the monkey was probably always animated of some sort, but not overdone.
I'm not sure if maybe some of the... I mean, we even saw the monkey in Indiana Jones, and I mean, there's spider monkeys, or I don't know, whatever kind of monkey it is... I'm sure, I would think that they probably had a real monkey at times, but definitely when the close-up facial expressions are definitely, of course, digital.
So, there may have been a blend of a real monkey would combine with some enhanced effects as well.
I mean, I got very nervous when the monkey in Aladdin really wanted his date, because, you know, in the Indiana Jones movie, the date was not good for him. Bad date. Anyway, but I thought the animals looked great. The tiger, Raja, looked amazing.
I'm kind of curious, did they use the same tiger from the live-action Jungle Book movie?
No, I was picturing more like the Walking Dead tiger, just like, you know.
Are they just reusing Shere Khan?
No. I do know, in addition to the genie really making the movie of the animated Disney Aladdin movie, Iago, the parrot, also helped make the movie, which was Gilbert Gottfried, I think.
Oh, yes.
And he was just a hoot to, you know, listen to and things like that. We learned that the parrot for this one was one of our favorites, Alan Tudyk.
Yes.
So, again, he's a masterful voice actor. So that was kind of fun to get to learn, which he did a good job as the parrot.
Although I can appreciate the play style that the first part of the movie was, I think I would have enjoyed a little bit more if the Middle Eastern town looked more realistic than fantastical. But that's just me.
Well, and I kind of feel like part of that is, I mean, this whole place is kind of a fantasy place. So I think it's almost like they made it to be more of a hodgepodge of cultures and perhaps just that fantasy culture as well. So I think I was fine with it. Like I said, I think it looked great. The costumes looked great. Everything was so vibrant.
I kind of missed the magical scarab.
Yes, you really wanted the
It's like, scarab so this to... cave is just always there for anybody to stumble across on. You know.
Yeah, I don't know how they summon the cave.
Yeah,
in the animated film, there's this scarab thing that he tosses up there, and it separates and becomes the eyes of the tiger, I guess. I think it was a tiger. I'm not sure exactly. That is the cave opening. When he went into the cave, though, I thought it did a really... It looked really cool, and it definitely mimics the movie really well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I definitely, as far as the live action remakes have gone, I know that we've had Cinderella, we've had Beauty and the Beast, we've had Jungle Book. I think looking forward
to the Lion King.
Yeah, we have Lion King coming up. We also have Mulan coming up.
Oh yeah,
this one actually made me look. I'm now looking even more forward to Mulan because I'm excited what they will hopefully do with that. But I feel like of the live action remakes, this one so far may have been my favorite.
Ooh.
Which, you know, I know we personally adore Beauty and the Beast because we have our special little significance with
that. Well, I still like the animated one better, yeah, for sure.
So I feel, and I, as much as I adore the Jungle Book, story, I think I definitely appreciate the animated version a lot more than the live action version, although the animals looked great with it.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of now maybe on the fence as far as which version of Jungle Book I like more. Of course, yeah, I adore the animated one. That's one I grew up on. But there are a lot of elements in the live action one that I really
like. You like Christopher Walken as Louie, don't you?
Okay, I'm a huge Christopher Walken fan. But I mean, the whole thing with Baloo tricking him into getting the honey and everything, that was really cute as well.
Yeah. And I think, was it Bill Murray as the Baloo bear? I'm not kidding.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I felt like I wanted more of the snake because I like the snake so much in the original one. I think I do, at least. But anyway, they did a good job with it. But the animated, you know, has a special place. All right, Corey. What's the verdict? Does it make the movie shelf or not?
Okay, I'll be honest. I did very enjoy the movie. I'm very glad I went to go see it. And this is a movie where, again, when I'm plopped down after work and tired and looking for something to watch and it's on TV, I'll be flipping to it for sure to watch it. But not at the quality where it's going to be purchased and put on the shelf.
Well,
but it's very close.
I think I'm in line with you that this is a super fun movie. It's really fun. It was surprisingly delightful.
Yes.
I, like you, my expectations were really low. So I think they were actually exceeded.
Oh, yeah, but both of our expectations were definitely exceeded. So
I, of course, enjoy the girl power emphasis, and I definitely recommend you guys check it out. In fact, the moment we were done with the film or watching it, I texted my coworker and said, hey, I just checked it out. I definitely liked it. So I would definitely recommend watching it, but it probably is not making the movie shelf. And just a quick reminder, the way I kind of view what makes the movie shelf is things that we're intentionally going to want to watch again and again. So
yeah,
just like you mentioned, if it comes on TV or something of that sort, we'll probably flip to it because visually it's really cool to watch. Of course, the music is, you know, bringing up childhood memories, so that's also fun. But I had a caveat to the movie shelf qualification for this film because I was thinking, if we had young children, I probably would add it to the movie shelf. So, but we don't have young children.
So if you had young children and you're going to introduce said children to the story of Aladdin, are you telling me that you would first show them the live action version before the animated version?
Well, I didn't say anything about that. They could both make the movie shelf.
Well, but if you're going to introduce elementary kiddos to the storyline, you can't tell me you're going to be showing this one first.
I don't know. That's an interesting question because there are elements of this one that I might appreciate them being introduced to first as opposed to the original. But
I could agree to that, yes.
But again, the previous, it's all about Robin Williams and the genie. So that's the main thing.
And Gilford Godfrey.
Yeah. And now it is time for our picks of the week.
Okay, so what theme are we going off of for our picks of the week on this one? Because I think we talked about the live-action Disney movies, but that was just like way too big of a...
Yeah, that was too broad of an option. And then I came up with a list of movies that are kind of similar to the Aladdin story, but I felt like there may not have been... enough.
We probably haven't seen enough of those. Right. Been all those,
we might need to brush up our arms.
Especially on those old classics. I mean, what were some of the...
Lawrence of Arabia. Yeah. I think, was it like Arabian Nights or something?
Yeah, there were an Ali Baba and
yeah,
a whole bunch of those classic ones that
so,
we haven't seen.
We decided, well, let's just focus on Will Smith. And even Will Smith is kind of a broad topic because
yes,
he himself has been in so many films with... such a wide variety of genres. However, I'm picking one that I saw in the list of similar to Aladdin stories, because it is one that I think is fun, and I feel like it kind of parallels Aladdin a bit. So would you like for me to go first?
Oh, yes, sure.
All right.
By all means.
So my Will Smith movie pick of the week is Hitch. So this is Will Smith as... I guess kind of like a life coach, matchmaker kind of person. He's not really like...
He only has a male clientele.
Right. His goal is to, if let's say you are a guy who is finding himself in love with a woman, he's going to help you basically become a prince.
And get introduced.
Yeah.
And get at least confidently get acquainted with said female.
He's going to teach you how to dress, baby, how to act... how to dance, all that good stuff, and help you get in there. He's really genuinely trying, I think, to help these guys.
Yes. So you're kind of paralleling this to Aladdin because you're saying that the Will Smith genie in Aladdin is kind of playing Hitch for Aladdin?
Right.
Okay. I can appreciate that parallel there.
All right, so what's your...
Kind of helps dress him, kind of helps him how to...
yeah. He definitely implies, and... I can't make anyone fall in love.
Yes. Well, I can help you make an impression.
Right. So what's your pick of the week?
I am going to go with iRobot, which is a Will Smith movie that I love watching on occasion, which also co-stars Alan Tudyk, which, interestingly, he's in the new Aladdin voicing the new voice of Iago. He also does the main voice of Sonny the Robot in iRobot. So mm-hmm. It's kind of another pairing with them two in this and that movie as well.
Definitely. So we have Hitch and iRobot. So those are two fun movies. I think Hitch is definitely the romantic comedy. iRobot is the sci-fi kind of thriller.
Kind of a thought-provoking sci-fi. You know, the whole danger of letting too much AI, getting too much control and so forth. So
right. What's the robotic laws? Who's
the robotic? Three laws of robotics based on Asimov's three laws of robotics.
Yeah. I think they definitely play off of that a lot that film.
Well, there's a lot of movies that plays off of his, you know, so they're Bicentennial Man and a whole bunch of others.
Right. All right, so next we're going to talk about movies that are coming out.
Okay,
so
are we going to tackle all the ones that we saw previously on, or are we just going to hit two or three of them?
Are going to hit on three of them.
Okay.
So the first one... I feel like it looks like a lovey-dovey, heartwarming kind of film, and it's a funky title.
Yeah, it is.
The Art of Racing in the Rain.
And it will not have the type of viewing that you would think it would have.
Yeah. It's like kind of a movie about race car driving, but really it's somehow involving a dog.
A relationship between a man and his dog.
And a man and his family.
Oh, okay. Because
there's the love story there. And so you have Milo, and I can't remember how to pronounce his last name, but he's the guy from Heroes and This Is Us, and Amanda Seyfried, and then the dog is voiced by Kevin Costner.
But it's interesting because it starts out being a puppy, and so you got the thoughts of this cup for this puppy being voiced by this really old guy.
Well, maybe it's being voiced by him in the future, and he's telling his story.
I can see that. Okay.
So Milo gets the puppy, and then eventually he meets Amanda, and it looks like their family grows. It's by the same people, I think, that did Marley and Me, so it definitely looks like the life story through a dog's perspective.
Yes. Okay.
So, we shall see. We do like dogs.
Yes.
And we do like lovey-dovey. So.
We have three now.
Well, sorry, yeah. All right, the next one that I wanted to mention was Maleficent, Mistress of Evil.
I gotta say, I actually really appreciated the first one.
Yeah, I think the first one, I really do like the Sleeping Beauty story.
I really appreciated their twist on the original story.
Right.
You know? No, there was no Prince Charming that awoken.
Right, the whole silly, that a man...
Man out of nowhere, yeah, just pops into the story, and I'll save her, and...
Yeah, I feel like we're definitely having a good 21st century twist on some of these classic fairy tales. You know, even with, like, Frozen, it's like, of course... It may be love, but it doesn't have to be love of this instant person you just met. It's sisterly love.
Yeah, sisterly
makes
love,
totally
yeah.
more sense, much more sense. And then, of course, Maleficent. You know,
kind of a adopted motherly type love.
Yeah, yeah. So this one, she almost looks like she's turning bad, but I'm sure it's just a misunderstanding.
Well, let's not forget, she really wasn't all that great in the first one either. So,
well, she was.
She does have her own personal views and her agendas and so forth, but at the end of the movie, her love for the child kind of overcame all that.
But she really was good. It was the guy that was bad.
They both had their faults, I think. But yeah, he definitely pushed her over the edge. And then
yeah,
once she went over the edge, it was like, oh, that's it. you asked for it.
He stole her wings. So.
Yes.
So this one, of course, looks like it'll be good. Angelina Jolie is a fantastic actress.
Oh, yes.
And it looks like we're going
fabulous
to see
actress.
A lot more action of her in this film. Again, we're not totally sure if she's ultimately good or not, because it doesn't look like they're portraying that. It looks like she's upset again.
We're not even sure if it's involved in Sleeping Beauty now anymore.
Well, yeah, she's in there.
Well, was she in there? Okay.
Yeah. And then Michelle Pfeiffer, it looks like, is in there as well, who I suspect is going to be the true villain, but we shall find out.
Ooh.
And then finally, we saw a full trailer for Toy Story 4, which yeah. I know we've already talked about a little bit.
But it was just a teaser. It was just like a really short teaser we saw last time.
So now we know that Bonnie makes her own little toy. And then the toy gets lost.
Sporky?
Yeah. I think he might be Sporky.
Oh, my Sporky.
And the toy gets lost. So, of course, Toy Story is, or the toys from Toy Story are pros at retrieving their lost friends.
Now, I don't think they're really portrayed it, but let's not forget that. Are all these toys now under the ownership of the new girl at
yeah,
the end of
Bonnie's.
Toy Story 3? Okay. Oh, that, okay, okay. She makes the toy. Okay.
Yeah, Bonnie makes the toy. And
I guess from what I thought
they educate Sporky on the whole toy process, since he's pretty new. He's a day old or something and gets lost.
Yeah, I'm 2 days old.
So it looks like it should be fun. Definitely Bo Peep looks like she's getting a lot more action in this one. And Annie Potts is voicing her, so that's kind of fun. So, and we already have our tickets to that one, so I'm excited for that.
Woo-hoo.
We're good to go on that one. So now it is time for a side of bacon.
So, okay, remind me who we're linking. I know I had it linked. Just remind me who we're linking again.
We are...
jog my memory.
We're linking Ken Watanabe...
Ken Watanabe.
...to John Lithgow.
Okay, I remember it now.
All right. So you definitely get the win this week, as you have Tuzi,
and it's even more legitimate because it's movies that I've seen and liked.
And you didn't even have to look at anything to figure it out.
Just IMDb.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't consider looking at IMDb cheating.
Okay, I just thought you asked me about it, and you're like, "Well, I got it."
Well, I saw the name there, but I wasn't sure. I was just reconfirming.
Oh, who he was?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's why I asked the question that I asked you.
All right. Well,
I was thinking that's who he was when I saw the name, so I was just confirming if you remembered it that way.
Okay, so what is your Tuzi?
Okay, so we're going to go from John Lithgow to Michael Caine in Interstellar.
Yes.
Which John Lithgow played the father of...
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey, who goes off into space, and Michael Caine played the owner of the whole massive space program at the time. And I'm going to link Michael Caine to Ken Watanabe. Well, I'm going to give you your choice of either Batman Begins or Inception, which they're both linked in both of those movies. And it's easily done because they are both Christopher Nolan movies, and he loves reusing actors in his movies.
I think my only issue...
I've seen all three of those, so even one of those can work.
And I definitely liked him in Batman Begins. I think my only thing was I did indeed want him to be Ra's al Ghul. Like, I wanted more of him.
Yeah.
But oh well.
But he was just...
He was a pawn.
Yeah, he was a pawn playing the head honcho when he really wasn't the head honcho.
He just didn't answer questions.
It was all to protect the real head honcho of the organization.
All right. So mine, like I said, I got into a threesy. But I got excited about this one because it plays tribute to our bacon for our side of bacon.
And have you seen all three of these movies?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
One of them is one that you really like.
Ooh.
So John Lithgow to Kevin Bacon in...
Oh my gosh, I should know that.
Fabulous soundtrack.
John Lithgow to Kevin Bacon. I should know that. Oh, I mind blocked at the time.
Footloose.
Of course, the original Footloose.
Yeah. All right, okay. So John Lithgow to Kevin Bacon in Footloose.
Of course.
And then Kevin Bacon to Tom Cruise in A Few Good Men.
Yeah, it's a very good movie. Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
And then Tom Cruise to Ken Watanabe in The Last Samurai.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He did have that role in there.
Yeah, that's probably actually my favorite for Ken Watanabe.
Yeah.
But I think that's also the first thing I saw that put him on my radar. So that's probably why.
Yeah, but of the three Ken Watanabe movies we mentioned just now, he definitely had the biggest part in that movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a mentor. He's a hero. I mean, he's the whole deal in that movie.
Oh, yes.
It might be a Tom Cruise movie, but it can only be done with Ken Watanabe.
So. Yeah. I mean, he definitely shines in and steals the movie there.
Yeah, definitely. So that was mine. I like mine because they were three very good movies, very classic movies, movies that are quoted. Well, at least Few Good Men is definitely always quoted.
Yes.
So do you have a bacon pick for this week?
Okay, so normally with our bacon picks, one of us will normally pick from the feature movie that we're reviewing, and one will pick
from... I feel like you're the only one that picks from our feature film.
What? I don't know. What about from the last one?
The last one, we had John Lithgow.
I had Ken Watanabe. Oh, and he was from... Yeah, he was from... But I would have gone with John Lithgow, but you predicted I was going to, so that made me change my mind.
Yeah, again, you're the one that picks from our movie picks. So,
okay, I'll take the movie pick this time, and I'll go with the obvious Will Smith, because the only other one that you could really remember or recognize from that movie would have been Alan Tudyk, but I think we may have used him before, not sure, but I know we haven't used Will Smith before, so I'm going to go with Will Smith.
All right, I am going to pick from one of the trailers that we saw, so I'm going to pick Angelina Jolie from the Maleficent film. So,
interesting. Oh, yeah. No immediate quick connection I can think of there. That would be obvious. So. Okay.
Although they're both fantastic actors that have done all sorts of things with all sorts of different actors.
Oh, yes.
So theoretically, it should be
a very easy one to do. Yeah, once you start thinking about it.
All right, so we have Angelina Jolie to Will Smith.
Very good.
Before we close, I just wanted to give a little shout out to Vera Farmiga, because when we did our last episode, I mentioned that I felt like I couldn't think of anything. The only thing I could think of for her was Up in the Air, and I can't remember the other thing I said. Oh, that Source Code movie with Jake Gyllenhaal. And I totally...
That was a total blunder on your behalf.
Yeah, and I totally blanked on what I actually know her best from, what I actually adore her in, which is the Conjuring series that she does with Patrick Wilson, directed by James Wan. In fact, I think they're making another one.
Or the Annabelle? Is she going to be in that one?
I don't think she's in the Annabelle. Okay. I think they're making another Conjuring movie.
Because it is the main guy who, like, owned or at least,
right,
yeah.
But with some of the Annabelle movies, I don't think they've necessarily have been in there.
Hmm.
But definitely in the Conjuring series, they're in there, which I definitely recommend. If they're not on our shelf, they should be on our shelf. And that is what I actually best know Vera Farmiga from, and I do adore her as Lorraine. Oh, I can't think of Lorraine Warren, I think.
At least so, yes.
The name. And that's
a
real person.
They are actually a real couple, and this is actually what they really do.
Yeah, and Lorraine, I think, just passed a few months ago.
Yes, they were actually investigating paranormal, people,
there's really an Annabelle.
Yeah, and people claiming that their house is haunted, they'll come and investigate, and she was like the sensitive one to whatever may be happening. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and they really did have a locked up Annabelle doll.
Yeah.
Of course, it doesn't look like anything in the movie. It actually looks like a raggedy Ann doll. But yeah, but it was like super dangerous and possessed and locked away in her thick glass and key and everything else.
Yeah. So I just wanted to put that little correction out because I think as I was editing, I was like, oh my goodness, I totally blanked on, you know.
Where are you looking from?
Yeah. So anyway, thanks for listening to Movie Shelf.
And if you would, click that subscribe button. And if you're listening on your Apple device, feel free to give us a rating and leave us a comment. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check our show page for notes and also reminders of our bacon trivia game.
And trailers to movies that we have referenced and mentioned.
Right, definitely. So we'll catch you next time, you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.